Now, say my name.
It's Matt Coon!
You're goddamn right.
Welcome to Total Engagement with me, Matt Coon. It's the Monday show, and we did not have any shows this weekend, and boy, am I rested. We didn't have any shows this weekend because Total Engagement is now a Monday through Friday show. I put a lot of work into the weekend shows, trying to get more and more downloads up to the huge numbers we had during the week. Y'all just don't listen to weekend shows, and that's all good. But for those of you who wanted something to listen to, we started a new Patreon page, which is patreon.com/totalengage. That's patreon.com/totalengage. As soon as SmackDown was over, I put up the SmackDown review, longer than most of our shows. And of course, we have the AEW and NXT review from last week. This week, we will be doing the Raw review, probably an Impact review, if I can figure out how to watch it, because I don't have access. And definitely AEW, definitely NXT. And I'll tell you what, if I get 50 patrons by Thursday, which is, we're close to that already. But if we get 50, I will do a Crown Jewel one. I can't do it. I just can't unless. But anyway, those of you who tried to sign up after our first night, I apologize. Apparently, you have to complete the process before people can do it, and I didn't complete it. My bad. I did it the next day, and then it was like boom, boom, boom. So I'm going to thank a few of you and give you shout-outs. If I haven't followed you on Twitter, please let me know. Zach and Steven Cerrone and Sean Jones and Scott Stevens and Robert Anderson, Mr. Anderson, Jason Bassett, and of course, good friend Alyssa in Chains. Thank you guys for being a patron member of Total Engagement. Now remember, this $2 fee, this $2 introductory price only goes through the end of October. I just want to be fair to y'all and not charge you a full month for the last week and a half, but it's a good way to show support. And it's another way that you can get more engaged with Total Engagement because we're all just fans, you know, you and me. But today we're going to talk about every hot button issue I can think about in wrestling. I'm going to make up for lost time for not doing weekend shows. We're going to talk about Kylie Rae. We're going to talk about For the Culture. We are going to talk about whether there should be a female champion of a historical men's title. And anything else I can think of, Shorty G, whatever. We're going to hit all the hot button issues today on Total Engagement with me, Matt Coon. So hot button issues today. Let's go ahead and start with Shorty G. Shorty G is Chad Gable. Chad Gable is an Olympic wrestler. Let me say that again. He is an Olympic level wrestler, which means anybody in the WWE, he could kick the shit out of. Like, he could just destroy limb for limb. Even someone like Dolph Ziggler, who is like a Kent State All-American wrestler, an Olympic level wrestler can destroy a wrestler of that level. He is, without a doubt, one of the top two or three legit badasses on the roster. And they took this Olympic-level wrestler, who you could really draw upon his abilities, and they made his height a defining characteristic. His height is a defining characteristic. There are people on the Raw, SmackDown rosters, and NXT rosters who are as tall as him. And they're going to make him Shorty G. And then they put him in basketball clothes with his shirt, his jersey tucked in. He looks like a fucking Space Jam character. And you're going to tell me that Marco Stunt is unbelievable. And if you're going to tell me Orange Cassidy's unbelievable, let me tell you, I get if you don't like those guys. I can't tell you what to like. I can't tell anybody to like what I like. I can't say you don't like this, so you suck. Or you do like that, so you suck. I can't do that. Anybody who does that is a bad fan. However, if you're the kind of person who says, well, Undertaker's believable because he's dead, but Orange Cassidy's unbelievable. Or if you say, hey, it's believable to me, and I'm not going to get up in arms about Shorty G, a fucking Olympic wrestler, being dressed like a little kid. and letting his height define him, not his badassery. I'm okay with that, but I'm not okay with Marco Stunt. Then I'm going to implore you. I'm going to try to bridge the gap here and not be such a dick like I am, because the hypocrisy does drive me crazy. But the reality is, people say things like they don't like Marco or Orange Cassidy as if there's some kind of overriding principle, as if they have some kind of standard for what is acceptable or not when it comes to believability. You don't. It's just preference. It's preference, not principle. And we all have that. And that's okay. I tweet with people all the time about the subject. And when they say things like, you know, it's not believable, I always say Undertaker's dead. That's always my comeback. Undertaker's dead. And then they change it and they go, well, he was a badass in the ring. I'm like, well, he can summon lightning. And he, you know, we saw him wrestle WCW. And we all know that it was him when he came to WWE and he's dead. And his brother Kane, who he could Google and know is not his brother, was a dentist, and he killed their parents in a fire, and he draws his power from an urn. And at the same time, Orange Cassidy's not acceptable and not believable. Marco's not believable, but yet we're not up in arms about Shorty G. So Shorty G is bullshit. This guy is someone who the fans could really get into and someone that they could just present as an Olympic-style wrestler. That's how they should present him. And let him fail or let him live based on that. His gimmick in NXT was that he had personality. They haven't let him show it, but right now we got a Space Jam character, and it sucks. Kylie Rae. Everybody's talking about Kylie Rae. Kylie Rae was a AEW wrestler that was featured pretty prominently, and then wasn't featured at all. And then it was asked of Tony Khan at the press conference what happened to Kylie Rae. There was no announcement, so people were a little suspicious. And they asked Tony Khan what happened. She asked for a release. She got a release. And that's the end of it. Was it amicable? Yes, it was amicable. And that's the only answer got. And boy, oh boy, did that spur some rumors. She got rid of all of her social media, and she kind of disappeared for a while. And the word was she's done wrestling. As a matter of fact, I think we got word from someone who was a friend of hers or someone who talked to her that said she is done in wrestling. Slowly but surely, she started showing up again. Slowly but surely, she started wrestling in Impact now. So I don't know if she signed by Impact, but she showed up in Impact. So she is wrestling, I think, in areas around her hometown. So what happened with Kylie Rae? Because there's all kinds of fucking rumors about it. The big thing that happened was the night after the press conference where Tony Khan said, you know, it's amicable and she got a release. Dave Meltzer was asked about it. And the person who was with him, who I think was Jim Valley, who I think is great, by the way. Jim Valley said, so just respect her privacy. And Dave said, yeah, respect her privacy. And I think that really got a lot of people's alarms ringing. It raised some flags for a lot of people, because this is the same guy, Meltzer, who like super pursued the specific kind of leukemia care that Roman Reigns got, and specifically nailed down the timeline of when he was filming a movie and when he wasn't filming a movie. He never said, by the way, that Roman Reigns didn't have leukemia. He never said, by the way, that, you know, he didn't have the treatment he said he had. But what he did say was that some things that are labeled as oral chemo aren't oral chemo. They're actually this TK1 thing. But when he said it wasn't oral chemo, some people said it meant Meltzer was lying about it, but he wasn't really lying. He was just being specific the way Meltzer is. Like when he starts a show and Alvarez goes, we have a million things to talk about. And Meltzer goes, well, about 15. Like that's just who he is, right? Very detail oriented. Definitely not someone who is questioning Roman Reigns' leukemia. So when people say that, that's not true. But the point is the energy that was put forth on the leukemia story is not the same energy that we saw put forth on the Kylie Rae story. And that raised some flags for some people. And it spurred some rumors. And rumors I'm not going to spread, but they're rumors that are completely unfounded and I personally believe are false. I don't have any reason to believe they're false other than I believe they're false. Let's go back just a little bit. These guys in AEW and Tony Khan aren't going to do anything to fuck this thing up. They're not going to cause any issues. They're going to really do everything they can to make this thing be as smooth as possible. They want this to be successful, and they're very serious about it. If you've seen anything that these guys have done, you know that they are into like fixing little details. So I don't think there's any, as Brian Alvarez says, there's nothing sinister going on here. There's nothing bad going on here, but there is something apparently private going on here. So just to put it out there, some other thing people say that maybe it was a mental health issue or maybe it's some other health issue that Kylie Rae had, but people are really up in arms and saying, well, did something bad happen at AEW? And then she signed an NDA, like a no disclosure agreement, so she can't talk about it. So to me right now, that line of thinking and her response has me thinking, no, nothing bad has happened. And maybe even she didn't sign an NDA, because the longer she goes without saying a word about anything, she's not saying a word about anything. She's not doing interviews about her wrestling coming up. She's not talking about, yes, I have left AEW. It was a good company, or anything like that, or I've decided to do something different in my life. I did not want to be full-time or whatever it is. She hasn't done any of that. And so for me, that means that that is probably not an NDA-related thing. Because if it's an NDA-related thing, usually people just say what they can, and they would do the interview. But to me, and the way Alvarez was talking about it was that it was something that was private and that people didn't want to talk about. And people take that to mean it's private in the sense that they're covering it up. But let me tell you, with someone like Brian Alvarez, when he puts himself on the line like that, he is opening himself up to be called a liar later if he's not telling the truth. Like if it comes out and it turns out that someone, you know, beat up Kylie Rae in the back, hypothetically, this of course didn't happen, but the example, beat up Kylie Rae in the back, and then they wanted to cover it up, so they just gave her release, and they gave her a bunch of money, and she signed an NDA, and then Alvarez went out there and said, hey, Brian Alvarez from Wrestling Observer went out there and said, hey, nothing insidious happened. Dude, the truth is going to come out. So if something insidious did, he'd look like an idiot, right? Meltzer too. Meltzer takes himself very seriously. He's got a big ego. He's arrogant about his accuracy. He's even when he's not accurate, he's arrogant about his accuracy. There's no way he would open himself up to an eventuality, which is everything coming out and then him looking like an idiot. I don't even think that's ever happened. So I think we can lay the Kylie Rae thing to bed and also take a look at ourselves and say, why do we want to know so bad? But if we read in between the lines, we can probably think it had something to do with a complete decision by her and a decision that she made and a decision she's okay with. And now she's back wrestling again. Once again, I don't know anything. That's my guess. And I think until she talks, we should probably just not make up bullshit rumors. For the culture. For the Culture is a movement I've been seeing on Twitter lately. I got involved talking to some people about it this morning. And basically what it is, it's Jordan Miles, formerly known as ACH, who's in NXT. And a month ago, a t-shirt came out for him. And these were a bunch of hastily made t-shirts. They look like shit. They're designed, they look like they're designed by me, except his, because I would never design that. But it looks like MS Paint, basically, and done by me, like someone who doesn't really know how to do it. And they put them all out in like a day, and they were all made fun of for how they looked. And his specific one looks like a mouth, a red exaggerated mouth on a black background with his name forming the teeth, kind of. Enough where it brings to mind certain black caricature stereotypes, the cartoonish, offensive, minstrel type cartoons dehumanizing, you know, looks for African Americans. It brings to mind that kind of imagery. And it's something that he really just brought up today, which is a month after it happened. And in bringing it up today, he did a hashtag for the culture, and a lot of other people have caught on to it, including Joey Janela, including Cedric Alexander. And he said things like, hey, WWE, what the fuck is with this shirt? He didn't say that. That was me. He said, hey, is this what you think about me? I need some answers as to why you would do this. And there's people up in arms about it. And there's also the pushback, you know, from white people, you know, like me, not me, but people who are white like me, but probably don't have any black friends who are going, hey, not everything's got to be about race. And the reality is no one is actually saying that WWE purposefully put out a shirt that looks like a minstrel show, offensive caricature stereotype of African-Americans from years past. No one's saying that. What they're saying is, hey, if there's no process or person in place that can catch this fucking shirt and say, hey guys, that is the worst fucking thing ever, and it's racist, and you probably shouldn't put it out. You definitely should have put it out. There's nobody like that in the room. And I remember having Rich Fan on the show and talking to him a lot about race and racism in wrestling. And I brought up the point that I think there should be African-Americans in the room to write for these African-American characters, right? So that they speak with a credible, genuine voice. Because sometimes it might not come across like that if you're trying to be genuine to these characters, because, you know, different experiences are different. And this would be an example of why, because this shit got out, this shit got put out. It shouldn't have gotten put out, but it did get put out. And if you're an African-American fan, or you're an African-American wrestler, or you're Jordan Miles, and you're looking at this shirt, there's a part of you, and some people it's bigger than others, that says, holy fuck, what in the hell? And they're justified in doing that. I think some kind of public statement needs to be made, and I think that Jordan Miles needs to be made to feel good about working the WWE. I did get one, in talking to a lot of my friends on Twitter, a lot of African-American people of color friends on Twitter, we're talking about this subject, and I'm kind of up in arms about it, and one guy who's basically been a troll has said, hey, us black folk, that's his words, not mine, us black folk don't need you to stick up for us. And some people disagreed with him. So there could be nothing more racist for me to do than to say, okay, well, I'm going to take this because, you know, you're not white. So if you say something stupid, then I'm just going to let it go by. That's just stupid, because of course black folk don't need me to speak up for them. But when white people stand idly by when shit like this happens, that's when shit sometimes becomes more ensconced into our culture. I will refer you to the quote of Martin Luther King Jr., who said that, I must confess that over the past few years, I've been gravely disappointed with the white moderates. I have almost reached the regrettable conclusion that the Negro's great stumbling block in his stride toward freedom is not the white citizen's counselor or the Ku Klux Klanner, but the white moderate, who is more devoted to order than the justice, who prefers a negative peace, which is the absence of tension, to a positive peace, which is the presence of justice. Well, let me tell you something. I'm not going to be someone who sits by. As a member of this community, not the wrestling community, but the world community, I'm not going to be happy to sit by and be a willing participant in a negative peace. And I'm sorry if that offends anybody. And if it does offend somebody, I don't care if it offends somebody. I'm going to be a part of a positive peace, which of course is the presence of justice, as Dr. King said. So I'm not going to stop talking. I ain't taking up for black folk or talking for black folk, as you said, because that's not something I would say or words I would use. But what I am doing is speaking my mind, and I'm doing things what I feel is consistent with my ethical and moral priorities and obligations. And if you don't like it, go somewhere else. So let's be like nobody else, and let's talk a little bit about Ring of Honor. Ring of Honor has fucked itself into irrelevance in 2019. A matter of fact, New Japan Pro Wrestling just announced last weekend they're forming an American company, New Japan of America, or something very confusing. Something got lost in translation, I think. But in any case, they're going to continue doing tours without Ring of Honor. The working relationship with Ring of Honor and New Japan is gone. And Ring of Honor is pulling in just awful attendance. And the buy rates for their pay-per-views have dropped extraordinarily. And a lot of us saw this coming. I know a lot of people were thinking, hey, the Elite are cool and Ring of Honor is not a cool brand. But I think they could have been a cool brand. I still think they can be a cool brand. if they market themselves correctly. I remember going to All In and being in a building with 10,000 people. And the next month I was in Vegas, completely unrelated. It just actually just happened to be there was a wrestling event going on there while we were celebrating a friend's bachelor party in Vegas. And we were there at the show. And I swear there was like 600 people there. And it had the same people. It had the Elite. It had Okada. It had, you know, Ibushi. It had Kenny Omega. It had everybody that was at All In. But the marketing was different, right? And it wasn't able to translate to Ring of Honor. But even with the Elite leaving, you still had the big MSG show. You had a show in Madison Square Garden that was sold out. Maybe a lot of us thought when it was first put on sale, the Elite would be there. But we all knew they weren't going to be there. And that's fine. We all were kind of in the mindset of, okay, New Japan's awesome. We want to see what they bring to a big American stage. And also Ring of Honor on these big stages sometimes do well, like on the WrestleMania weekend shows. And this could be a kickstart for Ring of Honor. And this could bring Ring of Honor into relevance. They could have really used that MSG show as a way to integrate the New Japan product with them and also build up their brand for the future. But instead, they tried to turn it into a Ring of Honor show with a New Japan afterthought. That was the first mistake. Second of all, they had Enzo and Cass do a run-in, and they didn't even tell the New Japan talent. Like, Tama Tonga and the Bullet Club had no idea what the fuck was going on in the match they were in. And I've heard, I don't know this for a fact, but I've heard there are bad feelings about that. And the most important thing is you've got a guy in Ring of Honor named Marty Scurll. Now, for those of you who aren't in the loop on Marty Scurll was one of the Elite, as much a part of the Elite as Cody, Kenny, and the Bucks and Hangman. I saw him backstage with the other guys. Like, he wasn't some kind of isolated loner who wasn't with them. Like, he's very much involved. He was very much a part of the crew. Not only that, though, he's got a certain X factor with his look, with his gimmick, with his image, with his in-ring presence, even though he's a smaller guy, that I saw bringing in more newer fans than anybody. It's that whole steampunk thing and the plague masks and his song. And he's really got an X factor. And every time we saw him wrestle in these smaller venues, he was the star, even if he wasn't supposed to be a star. When it was Team Osprey versus Team Ricochet at WrestleCon with a bunch of stars in the ring, it was Skrull that was the star, Runaway. When he was in All In, him taking on Okada, he was a huge star. And then he was in the MSG show in the main event against Matt Taven and Jay Lethal in a three-way match. And Skrull, of course, his contract's running out in a few months, but so is Matt Taven's. But they gave the title to Matt Taven. I think probably because they know Skrull is gone. Some people think he'll go to NXT or WWE. In my mind, there's no chance of that happening. In my mind, he's going to AEW, and when he does, he'll be a difference maker in bringing in new fans and bringing some more excitement into that exciting program. In any case, they had an opportunity to make Skrull the champion that night. And what a night it would have been. I think people would have forgotten about a lot of the shit that they didn't like because people always remember the last moment. But instead, you have Taven winning, and it wasn't this great heel moment. Like, that's one way maybe it could have worked if it was a heel moment where you're like, what the fuck just happened? Oh, shit, damn it, I'm pissed. Skrull lost. It wasn't that. It was more like, what the fuck? And it was like, as Tony Schiavone would say, a fart in church. Like, the air was let out of the building. Similar to when Undertaker lost the streak. I was in the building for that, too. Not giving Skrull the championship and letting him put Ring of Honor on his back. Because maybe, perhaps, they didn't want to build him up. Perhaps they didn't want to feature him knowing he would leave. And perhaps because they were mad at the fact that he was part of the Elite that may or may not have, in their minds, not treated Ring of Honor very well. And even though they know they need him because he's a star, maybe they don't want to put him in that position. However, in not making him the champ, they made a mistake of making their company irrelevant. And no one cared about Matt Taven. Someone tweeted me today, hey, talk about Jay Lethal turning heel. No one cares about Jay Lethal turning heel. And Jay Lethal's great. It's because of Ring of Honor. Ring of Honor made these mistakes, whether it be having an open challenge by Juice Robinson that didn't turn into an open challenge at the MSG thing, or Enzo and Cass. And finally, not taking the one breakout star they had and putting him on top for a year that they had him, to let him lose to somebody, to build somebody else, build one of these younger guys, a Mark Haskins or somebody like that. Build him up to beat Bandito, anybody, to beat Marty Scurll eventually. Just a huge mistake. You know, when the Elite left, they replaced the Elite with PCO and Villain Enterprises, some people here and there. But the real issue, I think, was not featuring the right guys in the right spots. And that, to me, is why Ring of Honor is in trouble. So you can tell I have a lot of energy today. Maybe I should take every week off. But I'm going to be here Monday through Friday on Total Engagement. Make sure, before I talk about the last issue today, that you get on our Patreon right now. It's only $2 for the end of the month. It'll be a little bit more starting November 1st. I hope you stay along because that's where all our TV reports will be and also some bonus content. And if you miss our weekend shows, you have plenty there to keep you occupied. That's it. Patreon.com/TotalEngage. I wanted to save this last take for the end of the show because it's got kind of a spoiler on it. So if you're someone who doesn't like Impact spoilers, Impact, TNA, Impact spoilers, yeah, that's right. Don't listen to the rest of the show or fast forward to the end so I get the download. You know, whatever. But recently, they had TNA Impact spoilers where Sami Callihan won the title from Brian Cage. That's not the story, though. The story is who came out to get in the face of Sami Callihan. Who got in the face of Sami Callihan to maybe say, hey, I'm the next challenger for this title. And it's going to be broadcast on TV on Tuesday on AXS, Access TV. And that person who did that was Tessa Blanchard. So we are going to be heading into an area where Tessa Blanchard, a female wrestler, is probably going to challenge for the Impact World title. Now, I know you're saying Impact World title is not a big title. Hey, it's a big deal, guys. This is a big deal. And Tessa is the one to do it. Now, I put out a tweet recently with a poll. Were you in favor of a female challenging for a world title? And more than 50% of the people said yes, they're fine with it. They don't have a problem with women being equal in a make-believe world. Again, the believability that I talked about earlier when I talked about Shorty G a lot of time is a choice. The one criticism that people have that I think is valid is that people are uncomfortable with the man-on-woman crime. They're uncomfortable with seeing a man hit a woman. But if I'm thinking here about that, because I'm uncomfortable with it too, you know, in a general sense, I don't love it, you know, but at the same time, I do believe that a woman in a wrestling world can be equal to a man. I don't have a problem with intergender wrestling. So I'm thinking that in the narrative, you know, if a woman puts herself in a position to be equal as a man, to be treated like any man would be treated in that situation, maybe it's an offshoot of still our own sexism to say, oh, we need to protect this woman. This woman willingly put herself in this match, in a wrestling match, in a fight with a man, and I'm still uncomfortable about it. Maybe we shouldn't be. And maybe it should be a lesson for our daughters in a way. Like, I know you're probably thinking, or someone's thinking, hey, letting our daughter see a man hit a woman is a bad thing, but there's a difference between a man and a woman fighting in an agreed upon wrestling ring and a victimization situation where you're allowing the woman to be seen as a victim, as it has in years past in wrestling. This is a woman who is leveling the field on a ideological level to say, hey, everything's equal here. I'm putting myself in this position and consequences be damned, and you should not be uncomfortable with it. Because I'm not being victimized here. I am going for an opportunity, and I'm being seen as equal to. Now, I'm not thinking that you have to 100% agree with me on that. You know, I still have that in my heart when I watch it, and I see in an intergender match, and I see someone do something that's less cartoonish, you know, less throws or body slams and more just like straight punches. Those are the things that make me a little uncomfortable. But I'm putting it out there that perhaps that's my hangup. Because in reality, that's something I always say, in reality. That's very condescending, isn't it? In reality, as opposed to the way we all live, in reality, she's putting herself in that position to be seen as an equal. And it is very much a woman's empowerment thing to say, okay, I am not a victim. I am a willing participant, and what happens, happens. From a pragmatic level, I'm very much in favor of it. To what we talked about with Ring of Honor, as far as, you know, them marketing themselves terribly, and that's why AEW is now seen as something and Ring of Honor is not. Impact and other companies, MLW also comes to mind as a company with a good roster, a good organization that sometimes has trouble getting the attention that it should and could get. It's all marketing. And so this is a marketing aspect that no one else is going to do. Having a woman compete for the main title, and also having the right woman compete for the main title. She comes across as credible. She looks great. She has a great presence inside the ring. Everything she does in the ring looks good. And it comes across as a possibility. And her match against Callahan she had before was actually really good. And the people on Impact, I believe, are going to go full on with this. I hope they drag it out a little bit. Like, if I'm rooting for Impact, because I'm rooting for every wrestling company, I hope they drag it out a little bit and build some suspense as to whether or not they would allow it to let people get up in arms about it. And no one got up in arms about us missing our weekend shows, which shows me that I made the right decision, because I don't just press record and go, guys. Like, I outline these shows and I prepare for these shows and I do a lot of pre-production, a lot of post-production, and I want to give you guys the best possible show I can every single day, Monday through Friday here on Total Engagement. If anything, these daily shows are going to get better. And if you would like to support Total Engagement, go to patreon.com/totalengage, patreon.com/totalengage to check out everything we're doing there, but most importantly to support the show. And I'm going to see you tomorrow where we talk about some more hot button issues in wrestling. We're probably going to have another Greatest Angle episode soon, but go ahead and do me a favor. Subscribe to us on your podcast platform. Go to all your devices and download us every day. This will probably be our longest show of the week, as you probably know, but I wanted to give you guys something a little bit extra because I've missed y'all. I hope you missed me too. We won't miss each other at all the rest of this week on Total Engagement with me, Matt Coon.